This podcast is made possible by supporters like you. Mahalo. And by Atlas Insurance Agency, Hawaii's largest professional agency, helping Hawaii navigate insurance solutions since 1929. More at atlasinsurance.com.
Hello, my kakou. Welcome to a new episode of What School You Went. We start every conversation this way every week, because that's what we do in Hawaii. I'm Ron Mizutani. Today, we're going to be talking about opihi, the Hawaiian gold. When you show up at a party with opihi, you the man.
Yeah.
I want to introduce a good friend of mine and reintroduce him. He's been on the show before. He's an old friend. I say old with all due respect, my friend, because you are, still younger than I am. So don't you dare call me uncle. Lanai Tabura, joining in the conversation. He's a DJ. He's a comedian. He's a TV host. He's an actor. And definitely one of the busiest guys I've ever, been around. And first thing first, what school you went?
I went Lanai High School, home of the Pine Lads. I went to HPU for one year.
Volleyball.
Yeah.
Volleyball scholarship.
Yes.
What happened to that?
They were trying to start an NCAA team that year. It didn't come through. So I ended up working with the women's team and then played club. But it paid for my school.
Well, God bless HPU. Yeah. Back then they were known as the... They were the Sea Warriors.
Nahaku Brown, mahalo to you.
Nahaku Brown.
Yeah.
Nahaku Brown, one of the greatest volleyball players
ever.
Her brother was Paul Brown.
Paul Brown, baseball player.
Paul Brown threw one of the only perfect games in UH baseball history.
Really?
True story. I was there. I covered that game. It was against Wyoming.
Wow.
Rewind the tape back to PAL days.
Uh-huh.
Paul Brown was a Pauoa AC ace.
Yes.
And he used to make everybody shake in their booty.
I bet.
The guy threw like a man. Paul Brown. I used to tell him, dude, you intimidated us. I think we should have ID'd him back in the day. But yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, he was good.
We digress. Hey, let's talk opihi, if you don't mind.
I love opihi.
Growing up on Kauai, it was a rite of passage.
Yeah.
To learn how to pick opihi correctly, safely.
Yes.
No, take too much. Yes. Take what you need. All the lessons Tutu taught us. Don't turn your back on the ocean.
Right.
You know, all of the things which
are very dangerous.
Very dangerous. People die for this.
Yes.
Your memories, early childhood memories of opihi.
My grandfather took me on the backside of Lanai. We were fishing for menpachi on a little boat. There was like four or five of us. And it was full moon, perfect weather. And we were close to the shore. So they said, we're not catching anything. We go pick opihi. So we got out of the boat. We were maybe only 40 yards, at the 40-yard swim. It was real close. It was shallow. And I had a umbrella case. You know when you put your umbrella in that case, that long sleeve?
Mm-hmm.
And that was what I tied it to my belt. I remember he gave me a belt, tied it onto the belt, and I would pick opihi and put it in there. But it was one of the only times I can remember that it wasn't rough.
Wow.
And it was pitched. Well, it was a full moon, but it was dark, and then we did it at night. And it was still scary to me. I think I was in seventh grade.
Wow.
But I picked opihi before, but I somehow remember, I never forget that, that time, because maybe it was with my grandfather and the water wasn't rough. But every other time the water was churning, and it was more like I was with an uncle or with somebody older and I went with them and helped them instead of, it was always, you stay here with the bag.
Oh, I know that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you're a younger kid and they would go pick.
Right.
But, it was one of those things where as soon as you picked one, you had to eat one.
Yep.
You know,
you had to use the other shell.
Yeah, you
had to
use the other shell first. And you eat it right there.
You know, that's your memory of a childhood, a memory of picking opihi. I, too, remember watching the bag, at Kalapaki Wall in Niumalu. And then the day my grandma said, grab that knife.
Yeah.
You're up. I never forget that feeling of that butter knife wrapped in tape.
Yeah. So you wouldn't lose it.
So you don't lose it.
Yeah.
And I had tobbies that were way too big,
but
I felt like a man.
Yes.
We time it. She taught me how to time the set, because back over there where we picked was rough.
Yeah.
It was very rough, but it was.
What side of the island is that on Kauai?
By Nauiliwili, Mr. Nau, the Marriott.
Okay.
So right there on the south.
No more nothing now, I bet.
Oh, no. Cleaned out. Clean house. You can't find opihi now on certain parts of the island. Yeah, we have some secret spots.
You like the big ones or the small ones?
I like the small ones.
Me too.
Yeah. Can it be too small?
Yes.
Because it has, the limpets have to be a certain size.
But, you know, I do like the big ones from the Big Island, the big yellow ones to put on a grill.
True.
Show you Tabasco.
Yes.
All day.
All day. And for those, the bigger they are, because they can be a little bit tough.
Yeah.
You got to put those on the hibachi.
Yes.
Yeah. But and back in the day, I don't know what you guys did in Lana'i, but the girls on Oahu and Kauai, we used to pick the big opihi, shine them.
Oh, man. My grandmother used to make us do that.
The necklace.
Yeah, you'd get a file.
Right.
And he was like, okay, you're not going
don't
beach.
Crack it.
You're not going beach till you clean one.
Right.
You'd have to grab. Yeah, my grandparents would make, my grandmother used to make us pick puka shell.
Yes.
And then she would make puka shell with the opihi in the middle.
Middle.
And I never saw that after high school.
Yeah.
I never saw anybody picking it anymore. I never saw anybody making it anymore. That's nostalgic.
Yeah, right, that's there. Good stuff there.
Yeah.
Gosh, puka shells, that's another Hanalei experience.
Yeah.
That and when the paper shells came.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I can still remember seeing that big opihi shell, shiny, on my aunt's neck as she danced hula at the old Kauai surf.
Oh, beautiful
shell. Good memories. You know, we've lost many brothers and sisters who've picked opihi through the years. I mean, it really is a dangerous, death-defying you've got to know your stuff. You got to know your location. You got to know your limitations.
Yeah.
And some of the best of them have perished.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why it costs so much, besides the fact that it's rare.
Dangerous to get. Yeah.
The delicacy.
It's interesting that what are your thoughts on somebody who goes and does that? Everyone that I knew that did it was like a waterman fisherman. Like they knew what they were doing. It wasn't somebody who didn't know what they were doing. So to that, how interesting, they knew what they were doing and they still got into trouble. That's how dangerous it was.
Yeah.
Right? Put it into perspective. That's how dangerous it was. These guys knew what they were doing and they still got into trouble. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised nobody has, like the abalone, nobody has learned how to farm it.
Right.
Or create a place where, we should be creating places where you can't get it, where like no one's allowed to pick it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, they've tried that in some areas.
I know.
You know, but you cannot, well, certainly the size of the opihi has to be a certain size. I believe it's a quarter or something of that nature.
Yeah, it has to be bigger than a quarter.
But, you know, people would just raid the land and just, especially during graduation season, forget about it. Getting opihi would be, it really costs you an arm and a leg.
Yeah. I went to Alicia's market about 2 months ago and they have opihi, you know, and the thing was about this big, like a little container, like the kind you would put ketchup in.
Yes.
And I think it was like, $15.
Oh, easy.
And there was like maybe it's like a dollar a piece.
Yeah.
$2 a piece.
Per pound is like you're buying gold. Like, that's why they call it Hawaiian gold for people. Now you've had the pleasure and the honor to work with the great Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
And you turned him on to a limpet.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I didn't know it was called a limpet. He told me it was called a limpet. I said this is opihi. So we he's coming to your house. You gotta bring all the stars out. We made poke, we did one steam fish, we did one fry fish, and then I did a poke with opihi, and then I wanted to show him what opihi was. When I knew he was going to ask, so I didn't put all the opihi in the poke. What's his name? Uncle, he taught me how to make this poke, and he had a Hawaiian restaurant in Kalihi. And I just forgot his name.
Oh, Iva.
Uncle
Kinimaka.
Iva. Uncle Iva Kinimaka made this poke with opihi in it.
Yes.
And I loved it because he put lomi lomi salmon, ahi, and he put opihi in it. It was like the ultimate poke, right? So I wanted to duplicate that. We didn't do the lomi salmon, so I put some opihi in this poke. And he looked at it, and I said, do you know what that is? And he goes, it looks like a oyster or a limpet. And I was like, well, what? And then he told me, and I said, it's opihi. And he goes, yeah, it's part of the limpet family. What do you say?
Limpet.
Limpet family. Yeah. And that's when I learned what the word was. I didn't know that's the official name for it. He taught me that.
It's actually a Filipino word.
Is it?
No, I'm kidding. Wow, you're so gullible, McFly.
Limpet.
Limpet with one. Yeah, you can say that one. But no, yeah. So did he enjoy?
He loved it. So then we had some extra ones, and then I showed him what to do with the shell. And he pulled it out with a shell instead of using a spoon.
Yes.
And then my uncle who was there, Uncle Derek Asing, made him a puka shell necklace with the opihi shell in it.
Wow.
Gave it to him as a gift. So if you watch the show, he's wearing it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Pretty cool.
That is a very cool story, Lanai.
Yeah.
That is a very cool story. He instantly became the Puko Shell tour guide.
Yes. Awesome. And he loved it. He said it reminded him, I think he said it reminded him of a clam meets an oyster or, you know, something like that. It has a little brine in it, mm-hmm. a little crunch in it, yeah. depending what kind of, you know, oyster you get and what kind of clam you get.
It is, it's a delicacy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Gold.
I mean, it's gold. I know people who cannot eat that.
I know a few too.
And I love when they go to luau's with them.
That they can't eat it,
I
yes.
tell them, grab for me.
Me too.
Grab it. Just grab it. Right? That's the guys on the luau line that you go, just grab it.
100%.
Just grab it.
Don't say no to nothing.
Don't say no to that. It's crazy. but it is an acquired taste.
Yeah.
Because the texture and you know, this is it can be a little seafood.
Gosh, I like eat opihi now.
You know, you brought up Uncle Iva Kinimaka. God bless him. Rest in peace. Incredible man. Great entertainer. But his restaurant in Kalihi was right next to the old diner's drive-in.
Yes, right across.
That was his specialty.
Yes.
That opihi mixed with the poke.
Yeah.
And I told him one day, I said, Uncle, how'd you come up with this idea?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not novel. I mean, right. people have tried it before. Well, it was over a few beers one night,
uh-huh.
and he came up with that. But it became, you know, when it came to his restaurant.
Yeah,
it was a must eat.
Everybody ordered it. Yeah, when we were younger, when we just started learning how to cook and with food and stuff, I think it's because we were poor. You would have we'd go to a party the night before, and then you would have extra poke in the refrigerator. We would mix all of them together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it reminded me of when I went to Uncle Iva's. Augie and I actually worked with Iva. We had a restaurant together in Pearl City.
Oh my gosh!
Called Lanai and Augie's Ukulele Cafe, and he handled all the food. So we became very close. And when I first had it and I saw it, I was like, oh, my gosh, we used to do this as kids. But it was accident. It was like just put all of it together, the lomi salmon, the poke, and whatever you had. But then he put the opihi in it, and he made it something special. You know, that was awesome. So I would go there twice a week.
Oh, yeah.
When he had in the Kalihi.
In Kalihi, yeah.
I'd go there twice a week just to eat that. I'll eat that with rice. And maybe one piece fried fish. Oh, he had akubon.
Akubon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually catered my youngest's first birthday party.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And nice.
We had it at the Bishop Museum, and Uncle Iva, he didn't give the opihi for the ohana.
Uh-huh.
It was a little piece for me.
Oh, nice.
And then I never forget, we had mac salad in the cooler that never made it to the line. So at the end of the party, I'm not kidding you, we had about 30 pounds of mac salad that we were giving out to the family.
Really?
Yeah, that was real plenty
had tuna
of aloha
inside.
And that was it. Just a mac salad.
That's your parting gift.
That was it. Hey, take the centerpiece. Oh, you like some mac salad?
Yeah, one Ziploc.
But no opihis for them. Good stories about opihi. And, you know, when I look at the opihi today, and, you know, there's different types of opihi.
Yes.
And the color and the Philippines, and all the respect, everybody's opihi tastes different.
Yes.
And if you go to the market now, it's hard to find Hawaiian-grown opihi. But there is Filipino opihi or from Southeast Asia countries, but it doesn't taste the same,
yeah.
nor does it look the same.
We should start a campaign.
What's that?
Save the opihi.
Save the opihi.
Yeah. Like, we cannot pick opihi for 5 years.
Right.
Everyone has got to stop. Just nobody pick opihi. Make it a law, you know? Or else, what's going to happen? It's like tuna, right? It's like the ahi and everything else. What's going to happen? We're not going to have, you know? That's scary.
That would, you know what? That would be a challenge, yeah, not impossible.
It would be, but it's something that we need to think about.
The black market would be something else, let me tell you.
Put them on the endangered list.
Right.
We did. I mean, Hawaiians ate a lot of turtle back in the day, right? My grandparents fed us turtle in a stew. And then, you know, not to
I heard it was a whole new experience.
Yes. Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-bum. Hey.
Yeah, he'll be here next week.
Tip your way to
Yeah, but it was one of those things where it was part of our diet, right? And then we put him on the endangered list. Now we have so many.
Now we have, now some that, people would say too many.
I think the sharks, that's why the sharks are
exactly.
coming around.
Yep.
But you can't just say, okay, everybody can eat them again.
Right.
I get it.
Yep.
But opihi, you can do that. We should put him on the endangered list or something. And save these things because I'd like my grandkids to try it, you know?
I should call Bill Isla. Maybe he can hook us up.
We should talk to somebody about it.
Somebody. I know people.
Yeah.
they don't know me.
we do a whole campaign of different things. Save the OP, the Manapua truck.
Right.
What else? Molokai bread.
Molokai bread. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I'm grateful for all the lessons learned as a child, growing up, surfing, you know, learning about the ocean, subsistence, no take any more than you need. But some of my fondest memories were of harvesting opihi. And to my, when I was able to share that with my my sons, how to pick, don't turn your back on the ocean. Right. You know, my youngest, same thing, teaching him how to dive, don't take too much.
I think what you said it a couple of times, I think the key thing is don't take, only take what you need. That's the lesson that we need to start sharing with everybody. Maybe it's not about not picking it for 5 years. Maybe it should be, the message should be, hey, only take what you need. The ahupoa, you know, law.
And or you will face
face
consequences.
Right.
I tell you though, I'll be honest, there are times when I would go harvest and you just get tempted. Because you're trying to outrace the wave.
Of course.
Right? And so you see a upu pile and you just start going with your butter knife. And you only got one shot.
Yes.
Because if you've never picked opihi before, if you miss, they get kung fu grip.
Right.
Right. And literally they'll just stick to the rock.
Yeah.
Along with the ama crab. But if you're going, you know, and
you can't help
yourself. You start picking stuff that shouldn't have been. It's the discipline.
Yes.
When you open your bag and you go, oh shucks.
Somebody told me the other day that we're running out of uhu.
That's true.
Like we're shooting too much uhu, and we need to hold back a little bit. But it's the same thing, right? If you're hungry or you're fishing for a luau or your kids. 1 year birthday party.
Yep.
You know how much you need in your head.
Exactly.
You're not going to go and say, "Okay, I'm going to leave some."
Yep.
It's just not human nature, but we need to figure that part out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the days of finding those big opihi are far and few between.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine who used to go visit Uncle Boogie at Kalau Papa on Molokai, they could have access to opihi that most other people couldn't.
I wonder if there's still a lot there.
Oh, there's choke.
Is there?
Yeah, but. Oh,
yeah, too late now. Well, nobody can get there anyway. It's hard to get there.
It's like I once did a story on at Keichuan back in the day on where the Oama was running.
Oh.
I felt the fisherman's wrath.
They got mad at you.
Oh, yeah. Because what they did was, why you tell everybody where it is?
Right, right.
And so I ended up doing a follow-up.
Yeah.
And I asked my photographer, just take tight shots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Take tight shots. I'm not going to reveal.
Right.
Where the fishermen were getting their uama.
You cannot.
Everybody, and you know, everybody knows the water. I know that guy's ankle. That's Ichiro's ankles, you know.
And you got to commend Molokai residents because I think they've done an amazing job of keeping people from not taking what they're not supposed to. Maybe some of them have done it in a violent way, but I'm glad that they do it.
Yeah.
I really am.
Thank
I support
you, Uncle Walter.
Them. Whenever I see it in the news, I'm like, good.
Yeah.
Everyone should be protecting. You know, they're not protecting it because they want to keep it for themselves. They're protecting it because they want their grandkids and everyone else to be able to eat it, you know? Yep. It goes with the fish, too. Hard to find, you know, with your kumu and stuff like that now.
Yeah.
Well, you can't find them anymore. You know, once my brother's a good diver.
Yes.
And he'll call me and go, oh, I get kumu. I'm coming right over. Because you'll get one, you know?
Your house must be so fun to have supper at.
Oh, my brothers are awesome divers and fishermen. That's why.
Not
I don't do it anymore.
Amazing.
Chefs.
So good to talk to you, my friend.
You too.
Good to talk to you. Next time, we'll talk story something else.
Yes, let's do it.
Yeah, you have your own parking stall already. Hey, mahalo for joining us on What School You Went. Until next time.
Ahui.
What School You Went is a PBS Hawaii production. Music by Taimane Gardner. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and tell your friends. You can find us on pbshawaii.org and everywhere you get your podcasts.